There are dimensions hidden in Jesus Christ our Lord, found in the very Word of God, which is expressly made known by the Holy Spirit. Join me as we welcome the ministration of God's servant, Pastor Gbenga Shafe, at Diocese 2019, the warfare of the kingdom. Relax and enjoy the ministration.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Daddy, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, Pastor Bello. I want to appreciate Mommy, Apostle N.S. Paul, and Reverend Majashon. I thank you. And I want to appreciate everybody who came in this morning. Please, let me appreciate the person standing beside you with a hand clap. Let's give them a big hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, I want us to appreciate the Holy Spirit, the reason why we are here. Hallelujah. 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 Is that the best you can do? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I am a bundle of so many things this morning. Please sit. Thank you. I don't know if I look good this way or I should just... Amen. Amen. This, I am amongst you as your brother. Amen. Hallelujah. I have quite a few things on my mind, and I don't know how we're going to do it, but I will just try. I will try so that I want to put myself on a 40 minutes so that we can make progress. There is something that is known as the evil day. Can you hear me? There is something known as the evil day in Ecclesiastes. And if you don't know what that day is, you can't prepare for it. When I was in the bank, there was a time a law was made. Prayer is not allowed. This is a bank that has facilities or branches in more than 36 countries. It just came like a mail. Last night I was sharing with you, if you don't understand how the spirit realm works, you'll be fighting the result instead of going to where the matter is coming from. This earth is primarily spiritual. And any transaction that two eyes can see is done. Any transaction that anybody can see with the eyes. Oh, something is going on in Sambisa. So it's done. It's settled. You have to get capacity to see something when two eyes cannot see it. So that you cut it off before it manifests. Whether it's in your family, whether it's in your academics, some of you are experiencing warfare in your academics. Whatever it is, you have the ability in Christ to be able to see things before they happen and begin to make a case in the realm of the spirit. I want to skip a lot of things, Daddy, because I thought I didn't have a message. Actually, I just have like... But as I'm here now, my belly is filled with matter. So, but I will try my best. If the Lord makes room for me, maybe one more time before I go. Good. But I'm under authority. And I really want to thank God for Daddy, for providing that fatherly oversight. Some of us in Lagos appreciate him more than you. But don't worry. Amen. One day you just come, you see that we'll pack his load and we move him to Lagos. Now, give me Ephesians chapter 6. I want to skip a lot of things because of time. Ephesians chapter 6. I want to talk about this man here. The man has been here, but we didn't talk about him. So I want to give honor to whom honor is due. Look at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What the scripture tells us is that it is a decision to be strong. If Paul tells us to be strong, it is because we can be weak. If we refuse to gain mastery of the things that we are being taught, and we engage properly with them to understand, because my context is different from yours. You know the kind of family you've come from. You know, maybe in your family nobody has ever amounted to anything. You know. Whatever the issue is, you know better. So don't just follow mentally. Engage properly, because you know yourself. If someone is telling you that there's nothing like stronghold, and you know where you are coming from, you now understand that just the way you have a spiritual heritage, you have a natural heritage. If your spiritual heritage is weak, then the altars that have been speaking before you were born, they will overwhelm you. Because the devil doesn't know you are born again. You are the one saying it. The only way the devil knows you are born again is when he comes and he meets a superior authority. He says, this one has something. A few weeks ago, a lady came to me from another church, and she said she had some issues. And while she was talking to me, I told her, I said, that is not your issue. That one you are telling me is secondary. I said, I'm looking deep into your father's house, and I'm seeing a shrine there. And I described the idol the way it looked. He said, it's true, because she used to be a Muslim. But the being a Muslim did not hinder them from worshipping that particular idol in Kogi State. I looked into the house and I described the altar. I said, this is what it looks like. Now, don't ask me how I know these things. Because I don't wake up with a key and say, okay, it's time to start seeing things. But you see, the anointing responds to crisis. Every time there's a crisis, the grace of God in you responds in the way you are configured to look for solution. So many times when nobody's in front of me, I'm just a regular guy. So don't come to me and say, I want to marry. I don't know who you are going to marry. You know, so I was talking to this lady and I said, I'm seeing an altar. She said, it was my grandfather that brought that idol to our family and he's dead now. My uncle is the one serving as the priest of that altar, but yet they are all Muslims. And I said, you are dedicated at your childbirth to that altar. And because your faith has not been established in the work of righteousness, so that altar is still speaking as though it has a claim to you. You are 40 and yet you are not married. Because there is somebody that lays claim over your life. Unfortunately, I wish I could tell you that these are things I read. But these are conversations I was involved with. And just like the devil tries to build territories in people's lives, he tries to build territories in cities. He tries to take ownership of nations. He tries to take ownership of areas. One of the ways you know the spirit that is prevalent in an area is to see the prevalent decadence in that area. For instance, you go to a place like Ajegunle, you find intense spirit of poverty. So if you are going to pastor a church in that place, you have to find instruction in God on how to isolate yourself from the spirit that rules that atmosphere while still carrying out your ordained assignment. Paul says you have to be strong in the Lord, because there are things you will see in your assignment that can weaken you. When you see the mighty falling, when you see people you put your hope on as mentors, as spiritual fathers, and you saw them die like chickens, your faith can be wounded. Your faith can be messed up. So it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now look at that scripture again. Be strong in the Lord. Your strength is in who? The Lord. But it is not only in the Lord you will be strong. You will be strong in his power. I'm still reading that scripture. You can be strong in the Lord, but if you are not skilled in the use of his power, you can have a submachine gun and you still lose. Somebody with tissue paper will embarrass you. The days that are upon us are not the days of hoping God will show up. Like Archbishop Idahosa, we must be able to say, we are living temples. God does not need to show up if we are here. Because we are carriers of what? The manifest presence of the Lord. Give me the next verse. Now, the moment he said to us, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, he began to tell us how that equation is going to work out. That the only way we are going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might is when we put on the armor. Are you seeing it? Say we need to put on the armor. And look at that scripture, say put on the whole armor, which suggests that it is possible to partially put on the armor. You can sit around the little revelation that you know or that you are convinced of and stay there, but you are just partially dressed. The only part of this, of your body that is not protected is your back. And that's because the Lord said, walk before me and be perfect. So the Lord is your back. The Lord is your covering at the back. There is no covering for the back. He said, put on the whole armor of God. The implication of this instruction is that when you put on the whole armor of God, you receive capacity in the spirit to withstand the wiles or the deceit of the enemy. So when the devil sees that he cannot contend you with power, it will come with deception. And which is some of the things Daddy has been talking about, unmasking the face of deception. And can I say to you that it is patience that unmasks the face of deception. You see, because the devil cannot mirror the angel of light for a long period of time. So every time you are facing something that looks like, is it God, is it not God? I'm teaching you how to go back into your space and journey with the Lord. And please pay attention to what I am sharing with you. I said many times when you think you are hearing God's voice or you are perceiving things that pertain to the Spirit, subject it to the force of patience. If it is not God, it will crack. When the devil sees it's not getting you to move an inch, it will crack. I don't know, I keep seeing him in my dreams. I suspect it's my husband. Subject it to time. It will crack. There are things that only patience can reveal. Character is revealed in patience. Are you hearing me? Character is revealed in patience. He said, put on the whole armor of God, I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So if I don't put on the whole armor of God, even though I'm born again, I will not be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Are you with me? Are you with me this morning? So it is important for you to understand the nature of this armor so that you can be fully equipped to stand. Many come into the day of the Lord, many come into the evil day, and they realize that even though they know so many scriptures, they don't have what it takes to stand. You see the word able? Can you see that scripture? There's a word there, able. Look at that scripture. You may be able. The Bible says in another part of scripture, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, he has made us able ministers. Are you hearing me? He said, he has made us what? Able ministers. You see, but can I quickly drop this at your feet? If I came to you or to your church and I began to prophesy, are you hearing me? If I began to prophesy, and while I was prophesying, I said, thus hear the Lord. But you see, I'm not really educated. I'm not really schooled. I don't have a degree, but I can speak in pidgin English. You see, I will begin to say, now waiting Holy Spirit they talk be this. You see, because the limitation of the vessel is now the limitation of the unction. The limitation of the vessel will become the limitation of the anointing. Because even though God is speaking to me, but the anointing will flow into the vessel. So I will now be constrained to prophesy only in the language that I have mastery of. Are you with me? So if there is something about being able, he said he has made us able ministers. Come on, say I'm an able minister. Come on, say with faith I'm an able minister. He said he has made us able ministers. Again, here God is saying, if I put on the whole armor of God, I will be able. So if I lie to myself or lie to my friends and tell them that I am in a realm of supernatural operation that I am not in, and then the day of evil comes, and then I notice that even the ground is rejecting me. Next verse. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Is this simple enough? Okay, but I want you to get it. Against flesh and blood. So Paul is telling us straight up here, we are not in the battle for against our brothers, or the father-in-law, or the mother-in-law, or your great-grandfather who was an idol worshiper. No. What we are dealing with is way beyond that. We need those ones to be saved. Are you hearing me? But he said, against principalities and against power. Now, as I read these four levels, I want you to understand that what Paul is teaching us here, they are embodiment of eternal realities. And that for this thing to exist on the negative side means that we have this reality on the positive side. There is nothing that the devil does that is not mimicking what God has done. Are you with me now? So you will notice that even when Daniel was praying, an angel also came to help him. Because there's an angel that can operate at the level of the resistance that the under angel could not overcome. So he said, against principalities, the word principalities there means princes. They are rulers. All these are ruling spirits. They are ruling spirits. He said they are rulers, they are principalities, and they draw their strength from principles. When you violate an eternal principle in scripture, they draw their strength. They feed off your disobedience. They feed off your carnality. They are able to exert themselves over you because you are violating certain principles that are put by God. But they are very powerful spirits and extremely wicked. The Bible talks about powers. These are embodiments of powers. They are very dark. When you see them, they exude a very strange realm. It's as if you are in the presence of Satan. But these are just fallen angels. But while they were in heaven, their capacity was in the area of strength. So they embodied power. The Bible to call them powers. Powers. There's an S in that operation. So when you sometimes begin to bind evil spirits and you notice they are not moving, it's possible that what you are dealing with might be something far above the level of demons. So you have to be not just to shoot blanks, but to be spiritually smart. To understand your enemy before you engage. Hallelujah. Then the Bible talks about the rulers of darkness. These are powerful spirits that thrive in the midst of darkness, where there is no illumination, where the light of the gospel is not being shown. They thrive in such places. If you go to Japan today, a lot of that economy is still not open to Christ. And there's a lot of advancement in darkness. David was teaching us in the book of Psalms. He said the dark places of the earth are the habitation of cruelty. The dark places of the earth where there is no light of the gospel, where there's no light in a family. The Bible says such places will be the where you find the deepest and every form of wickedness. Why? Because there's no light. And where there's no light, things can thrive. Are you hearing me now? Apostle Paul was saying last night, he said he doesn't take the weed, anything. He just put him anywhere, he tries. That is the operation of darkness. The Bible talks about spiritual wickedness. I'm just trying to rush this one. The spiritual wickedness in high places. These are very strong powers. When your matter cannot be settled on the ground, they take it to a realm. And if your feet is not solid in that realm, they begin to launch certain things against your ministry. They launch certain things against your life. Have you ever prayed for somebody before and you noticed it was too late? Because they've already, in quotes, shared the person's body. They finished eating the person's body. And you knew you came too late. Because these spirits are known for one thing. They are wicked. They love blood. They love to shed blood. Every time they see blood, they are excited. They love wickedness. Just the way you rejoice in righteousness is the way they rejoice in wickedness. Very dangerous spirit. But Paul said, look, if you understand the nature of the armor of God, he said you'll be able to stand against them. Hallelujah. So you now realize that the issue of the armor is something that is so important. For you personally, it is important for you to learn it. Now, the armor is not just revelations, because they are revelations, but they are literal armors in the spirit. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me now? Are you hearing me now? I said in the realm of the spirit, these weapons of our warfare, they are literal. Are you hearing me? Now, go to the next verse. Please, am I simple enough? Okay, good. Because I know a lot of people will still get the message and they need to be able to follow. Next verse. Because of these four categories of spirit, wherefore, you see that word wherefore, because of this, take unto you. Take. There's an attitude to that instruction. You can't afford to be unclothed. You can't afford, because the devil doesn't shoot blanks. He comes for blood. Because of this, your only insulation is to master the armor. Ah, are you hearing me? You need to master the armor. Take unto you. Are you seeing that? Huh? Some people sit around it. Some people dance around it. Some people talk about it. Some people share the revelation around it. But you, take and make yours. The armor doesn't come default. It's not a default wearing. It's not a default clothing. You have to take it to yourself. You have to take it to yourself. Take unto you. And don't just choose the part of the armor you like. Take unto you the what? Whole armor of God. So that in whichever way they come against you, as you begin to go out and begin to intercede for the destiny of nations and for your community and for your campus, you cannot afford to be unclothed. The clothing doesn't come default. You have to take it unto yourself. So the clothing is there, but you need to dress up for war. Hallelujah. He said, take unto you the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand. Do you know what withstand is? This is withstand. When there's a strong wind coming against you, and then you are like this, and you are trying to withstand, there's a lot of pressure upon you. Pressure to fall into sin. Pressure to deviate from the faith. Have you ever questioned your faith and it didn't make sense? Have you ever gotten to that point of like, okay, so what if there's no hell? What if after when we are dead, that's it? What if none of this really matters? Who has gone into the heavens and come back to tell us there was heaven? Who has gone into the belly of the earth and came back to tell us there was hell? Oh, I died, I saw, who knows who is lying, who knows who is... At what point is your faith now being questioned with a big question mark? And how are you able to fight these mental battles, these spiritual battles, with and to come out with faith as your hammer, with faith as your shield? This is what Paul is talking about there, that this battle is close combat. It's close combat. It's close combat. He says, I'm able to stand. And having done all, to stand. Next verse. Having done all to stand, stand. Now, I want you to look at this man. We are preaching together this morning. There are some things on this man, this soldier of Christ. We can see, I'm going to use this man here together with what Paul was teaching. Can we see the helmet? Okay, you can see the helmet. That's what Paul called the helmet of salvation. Then we can also see the sword of the Spirit. Then somewhere around the waist, there's a belt. Okay? If this was a fully colored Roman attire, you will see the belt. There's a belt. Then there's a shield. Then there's a pair of shoes. Now, is that all? Is that all? There's a breastplate. What else? There's a shield. Now let me digress and teach you something in the prophetic. Now hear this one. When you begin to come to visions, and you say, I saw in my dream, or I saw in my vision, the Lord showed me a Roman soldier. I said, now many of you, it's not that you don't see things, but you lack details. Are you with me? It's not that God does not speak to your heart, but you lack the critical information. You just know God is tugging your heart. He's trying to say something, but you don't have the details. And this was how I was able to fix it. I mastered, by the grace of God, how to put my gaze on something for long. The moment I asked you, what else? Then you looked at the soldier again, and you saw the shield. Then I look again. Then I saw the spear. Nobody talked about the spear. And I'm going to show you the spear. Did you notice? There's a spear. The Roman uniform is not complete without that spear. Hey, Are you seeing something? I'm going to show you something. So we looked at this guy and this is us. This is us. This is the church. This is you. This is myself. Now look at this. The first thing that Paul began to address about this man is what? The belt of truth. Talking about the importance of doctrine, the importance of being established in the weight and the truth of God's word. That is the introduction into the kingdom. Truth. Truth. There are so many things that have been peddled. But Paul says if you don't want to shake, you must take responsibility for truth. It is not a question of how old you are. Paul said you must take responsibility for what? For truth. So it is my responsibility and not just that of my friend or my brother to help me. I must be a man of questions. I must be a man of study. Paul is saying that I must begin to embody truth. Because the things I'm going to be fighting, they are also embodiments of certain realities. Are you with me? When they come, they are looking for where the error in your life is. They are looking for where the permissiveness is. They are looking for where the loopholes are. Are you still here? The Bible says that the first thing I want you to do is to embrace truth, embrace doctrine, embrace the present truth, embrace divine agenda. Know what God is doing in your time and plug yourself there. Your relevance is only as useful and connected as to what God is doing today, not what God is doing yesterday. I asked you to camp around the mountain. Now I say we have camped around this mountain long enough. He said you must camp, you must guard yourself because it is truth that we hold every other part of that armor together. Come on, say the belt of truth. Come on, say the belt of truth. Now let me tell your neighbor, we have a size for you. Now this belt is elastic, which means that it will flow to the degree of your progression. The belt of truth is elastic. You cannot wear a level you have not mastered. When they brought the armor of Saul to David, he said, I have not mastered it. I know the sling. I know prophetic warfare. But you are a general. I don't know. This thing is even weighing me down. That's when what happens when you try to speak in levels that you are not received authority for. Okay, and one of the ways to grow in authority is service. One of the ways to grow in authority is humility. They are the easily despised things. One of the ways to grow in authority is to learn how to say you are sorry, even when you are not. You don't know your pride level until you get to that point and you need to say you are sorry. Ability to apologize is a true reflection of your level of humility. Especially when you are not wrong. Guide yourself with truth. The next thing Paul began to teach us was on the doctrine of righteousness. He says righteousness protects your heart. Righteousness protects your spirit state, your mental state. Paul doesn't want anything to tamper with your understanding of the doctrine of righteousness. Paul doesn't want anything to tamper with your perception of yourself. The Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says we used to know Christ after the flesh. He said, but now we don't know him after the flesh. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. The new has come. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is not a function of what I've done. It's a function of what he did. And all I needed to do was to believe. So Paul was saying the moment you come into warfare and you are not established in righteousness and you become tempted to begin to rely on your prayer and your fasting and you become tempted to begin to rely on your spiritual gymnastics, the devil will pierce an arrow through your breastplate. And the breastplate, the target in the breastplate is the heart. Instant death. There is nobody who got an arrow in his heart and did not die immediately. There are certain places where you can be shot and you will still be able to pull yourself through. But when the arrow comes through your heart, you are dead instantly. Your understanding of righteousness is very important. Your personal understanding of the finished work of Christ is very important. Not just in your head, but in your heart. So when I go to bed, I am not thinking, oh, Maybe I feel like a Christian. We don't feel like Christians. We know we are children of God. Say, now we are we the sons of God. And even though it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be as he is. So we are persuaded of the doctrine of righteousness. We know who we are in Christ. We are not confused. It was Jesus who died and proclaimed us to be his brothers. Are you still with me? So we must have thorough understanding, please go back to that scripture, of the doctrine of righteousness, because the breastplate covers the heart. It protects your foundation. It protects your spirit. It protects your spirit from offense. Every time the devil is throwing offense at you, the righteousness of God tells you we cannot accommodate offense in our spirit. This is why battles are lost, because it is in the little things. He says you must cover your heart with the breastplate of righteousness, and that is that part between the neck and the waist, the breastplate of righteousness. Give me the next verse. Then this is the first part of the battle that involves actually going somewhere. This one you can't wear this shoe on your bed. At this part of your journey, you have found a reason to go out. Something about your life is telling you cannot be silent anymore. So you wear the gospel like a pair of shoes. So you go out in the morning, you wear your real shoes, and then you wear your spiritual shoes. Because you know anywhere, God could just say, speak to this person. You have the preparation. You are ready to give an answer to anybody who asks you question about your faith. Why do you believe in God? How can you be so handsome and yet be declaring the counsel of God? Why such a waste of your destiny? Well, I say, well, God is recruiting fine boys, and for some reason, some of us came in at the right time. Okay? Because anything God does is attractive. How beautiful are the feet of them? Who proclaim the gospel, who publish? Well, I call them the word publishers. They are the word publishers. This is a state in your spirit. This is a state in your journey where you go out knowing that you have a mandate. You have been sent and you are set. You are ready knowing anywhere, anytime. You don't know. You don't need a pulpit. You are the pulpit. Anywhere there's a mandate upon your life, you are ready. Because you see, those spirits I mentioned, those four of them, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, spiritual, they are spirits that rule over territories. And every time God says, wear the shoes, we are going out, it is because we are going into territory, sir. When the angel saw Joshua, he said, take off your shoes, sir. Take off your shoes. Take off these earthly shoes, sir. For the ground that you are stepping on is what is holy. And then between the conversation between them afterward was not captured. Only that we saw Joshua come back and give them instructions. We are going to march around this city once every day. That was the instruction they brought. It is in your readiness that instruction comes. If you are someone that is waiting for full download of prophecy, you will never require faith, so God will not show up. But when you get out in the field and you say, Jesus, today I want to be your eyes. Today I want to be your feet. Today I want to be your heart to love somebody. I want to be your lips to encourage somebody. I want to be your instrument to bring somebody into the light. Then when you get there, you will find instructions coming out. I know there are pastors, but there are pastors and there are pastors. There are pastors who are career pastors. There are pastors who are sent on an assignment and they know it. Oh my God, the Bible says that Joshua took his team and he gave them clear instructions. While we march around this city, nobody is to utter a word. Your feet must be prepared. The instructions come in the movement. The instructions come in the transition. The instruction comes in that journey. He said on the seventh day, he said you are going to march around this seven times. I hope you know that city is not the size of this church building. That city is an entire city like Lagos. So it takes a lot of diligence. It is in quietness and confidence that your strength shall be. Because there are certain disciplines of the spirit, if you do not learn patience, you cannot prosper in them. But when you are walking around a particular city, the city of Akure, and the instruction is clear, do not open your mouth. Anybody who opens his mouth will be killed. The instruction is very clear. It is in the going that you get some personalized instructions. A brother said he was, some of you know him, Apostle Arume. He was redeployed to a particular office of DPR or where he works. And he said everybody who sat on that seat died within a year. So when they post you there, it's a managerial position, but people should not really be telling you congratulations. Because the last three people who came there died. He said, and when he got into that office, I think maybe it was the Lagos office or one of these offices, he said he asked the Lord, what is the requirement to stay alive here? Please do not take me out of context. What I said is, in your transition, in your journey, there will be some personalized instructions. They are not doctrines. They are given to you. Not to your wife. There are pastors and brothers, when they pray, everybody in the house must fast. When they are fasting, everybody must go on hunger strike. Because they must not hear the smell of food. If it was you, God said you should fast. Can you leave us alone? Let's have some food. You got the calling. We are just partners with your destiny. You do your fast. We should not suffer punishment simply because God spoke to you. You go into a relationship. 7 days. The relationship started this week. Pastor approved. 7 days fasting. We started. Oh boy. I was thinking it's going to be a one-time thing. 2 weeks after. So I'm seeing something. Let's do 14. Sorry, are we in a fellowship or is this a relationship? Because I need to understand what we're really talking about here. I mean, we need to have some conversations here. Is this for now or is this going to be our life? You must identify what those instructions are. And please remember they are yours. So I don't make doctrine out of nothing. Arume said, the Lord said to him, till I tell you, the sun must not set with food in your stomach. While you see the sun, food must not enter your mouth. So he woke up every morning fasting for 1 year. And it will break after the sun sets. So let's say he was doing like 6 to 6. He didn't plan to do it for 1 year. It only happened that it took a year for God to say, okay, you have gained ascendancy. So when you see an Arume, I know he's gifted in raising of the dead. It's not by mistake. It was training. So when some of you say, God, use me, God is smiling. He knows you don't mean it. Because before he trains, before he uses you, he will train you. There's a prayer I pray for myself. Lord, train me the way you train Jesus. Very bad prayer. It will wake you up at night for no reason. They say it was Jelegiwa that killed Abacha. You can't even participate in a normal conversation in your office because you are tired. Lord, why are we up this morning? I don't know. Read, do something. Because this flesh is very wild. Even with fasting, it's very wild. So God said to them, go around this mountain, and on the 7 days, you can imagine, with no food, God now says, shout. It was not their shout that brought down those walls. It was their obedience. Did you hear that one? So if God says something to you, don't be in a haste to be sharing it as revelation. Go and practice it first, or obey. You heard it, so it's for you. I said you heard it. So it's for you. It's for you. Come and say it's for me. It's for you. So don't bother sharing it here when you come. Just next verse. Quickly. Above. This is very significant. The shield of faith suggests to us that between the time the battle starts and when it ends, it is faith you will need. That many times you will be journeying with God and praying, God, over these people. God, over these people you have given to me. God, and you will not see anything in the physical changing. God will only give you grace to tarry in the place of prayer. God, over Rolake, Baba, Lord, Lord, Lord. Rolake will see Nelly, she won't say good morning. Let me add fasting to it. Father, change her life. Lord, I know you have a plan for her. Father, Father, Father. She will just stop coming to church altogether. And stop picking your calls. I was a man of God over the weekend, and he shared with me. He said, there are some stories I never talk to people about, but I want to tell you one. A lady who was very fervent in church, said when she prays, you remember your prayer life, how dead it is. I don't know if you have those kind of people here. They are so prayerful that when pastor gives a prayer, they squint their eyes. There's a way you look at her, you remember your fallen state. That's how the pastor described. And she was his member. Then some time came and she brought a brother and she said, Daddy, this is the brother I want to get married to. The pastor just said, look, and we need those kind of pastors that will tell you the truth without looking at your face. Because some of us are politicians. Some of us don't want to hurt you. You need pastors who can tell you OTC. He looked at the brother and said, look, the lady, this is not your husband. She told her in front of the brother. Said, this is not your husband. Keep praying. The brother prostrated. Daddy, I'm also a Christian. It's a Muslim. But in my family, we have lots of Christians. So she can follow God, no problem. I didn't even know you were a Muslim. I only know God said to me, this is not your husband. They kept kneeling. It's not your kneeling down that will change what God said. If you are not in alignment, why are we even here? We are not even in alignment. There's nothing to talk about. The brother was prostrating 10 times for pastor to change his mind. The man. Because he's not a brother yet. Amen. But you see, sir, in the last 2 years, and ladies, please listen to me. As long as you remain, your emotions are a gift from God. But in the realm of the spirit, they are fickle. They are fickle. They are very weak. They can mislead you. To mature in spiritual warfare, you cannot afford to be emotional. Because when God says, raise your hand and strike the boy, and Abraham must not flinch. If he flinches, it's no more faith. So when I learn Christ, one of the things I learn is persuasions. I must come to the place where I'm persuaded of what God is saying. So regardless of who is joining with me or not, regardless, when I get to that Mount Moriah and he says, lift your hand and strike the boy, I must not flinch. Why many people cannot press into some of these things God is doing is because they are highly emotional and it clouds judgment. So today you can hear God. Tomorrow you hear yourself on the same matter. Even your wife can try to manipulate you. Husbands can manipulate their wives. They play on your emotions and make you do what on a good day you know yourself, you will not do it. And you are saying, this boy doesn't deserve this thing. The lady, everybody in the last 2 years I have told, this guy is not saved. Pastor, I'm 34. The moment you begin to apply that emotional card, I can tell your spirit is weak. Even though your tongues are very loud. Come on, say I'm hearing something. So, for you to be spiritually strong, many times it's not so much about 3 hours praying. Just take away those impediments. Those mental blocks. Take away those things that when you charge your phone, they are draining your battery. Just take them out. Don't worry about praying 3 hours. Just take away those things first. Take away those things that struggle with what God is saying. Take them out. Then see your battery life. So you are praying 3 hours, but you have things that are sucking up your energy. So we are in Lagos now. People like to hear 30 minutes message. People don't have energy for 3 hours, 4 hours. Leave it. The lady eventually married the brother. And she kept coming to church. Later, they relocated to another part of the city. And maybe the pastor even felt they relocated out of the country. Until one day his phone rang. Daddy, how are you? He said, I'm fine. It's been a while. How's your family? Because as a pastor, I will tell you I don't support. But it's your choice. God didn't send me to tell you who will marry who. But if I perceive in my heart that this is of the Lord, I will tell you where I stand. And please don't even ask me to join you. Because my conviction will follow my next step. Say, Daddy, I just wanted to greet you and mommy. Okay. Only for the sister, who is a medical doctor, to show up in church 10 minutes later. In bedroom slippers. What is this? Come. Sit down. Why are you looking so haggard? What about your job? The face swollen. Your husband did this to you? Give me his number. The pastor picked the phone, called the brother. Hello, my name is Reverend. So, okay, what can I do for you? The brother was prostrating some time ago. Say, yeah, what can I do for you? Say, your wife is here with me. Say, hello, Reverend. I just respect you. Cut that line now. Cut the line now. Well, I'm going to cut it. And he cut it. If you don't have spiritual eyes to know what is in a man's heart, you go and pour oil on them, ordain them, then I gather people against you tomorrow and say, Pastor, your anointing is not hot like before. Go and sit down. You have appointed Ogi to be the new pastor. Take us to promised land. How can you tell what is in a man's heart 10 years away? That's why I say take away the impediments. Identify them. They are very quiet and small. When you see somebody that, when it's being corrected publicly in church, but I have something to say. And you see the shoulders like this. I'm seeing something. Some time ago, we were in church, and somebody was rude to a pastor in church. And I blamed the pastor. I told him, I expected you to know better. Number one, when you are dealing with women, you have to be sensitive and patient. Don't use force with women. Apply to their sense of reason first. Be gentle. What she did was wrong, but you could have been a bit more patient. And the lady was glad that she won the argument. And the day she was being considered for leadership, I said, strike out that name. People didn't understand. I didn't forget what happened. You won the war, but you cannot be in leadership. There's no need to make a mess about anything. But we know what we are going to do. There's no emotion to who is a pastor or minister or anything. No. It's who God wants. And if I don't feel convinced, suspend it. Because the moment we lay hands on you, it is the call, Ogi, your calling into the ministry cannot be separated from this church. If you walk away today, you have walked away with a part of Pastor Sheyi that will never come back. It was his calling you shared. Even if you were never called, but hands were laid on you, a part of his grace has gone with you. If you walk away from that grace, you have taken a part of him. Every day he wakes up, he remembers you, and he remembers your rebellion. Let us take away the impediments. Those things that drain our spiritual battery. Sir, this particular woman, highly spiritual, her tongues are so loud, but when she fell into the wrong hands, because I'm 34, I'm 36, I'm 38, time is running out, according to who? Daddy, it was the pastor she despised that took her in, gave her a room in his house, started feeding her. Real food though, not Bible. Real food. She started growing flesh again. She said, my mother-in-law said I should come. Maybe they want to settle us. Do you know the man, when he heard, the lady didn't come back, He has remarried in the same city. Impregnated and that lady. He doesn't care. Men alone, we. You understand? Yeah, I'm helping you by marrying you. This one is yellow. Let's look for dark. Variety is the spice of life. Uh-huh. The man that put another woman in the house. That one has followed our pastor. She's an idiot. Put another one. We have money. He's a Muslim. It's his right. Being a Muslim is a legal way to be careless. A legal way of just... You don't need to worry. Just bring them inside. Daddy, she left the house in the hope of settlement. Because some people never learn. They take your counseling. They take your words of wisdom. But their idol is in their heart. They will do that, you know. Because as far as they are concerned, you don't understand how much Lizzie loves Kunle. Daddy doesn't understand. She left the house, went for a meeting. Daddy, till today, she has never returned. Nobody knows if she's dead or alive. She picked her bag. Mufe Lori, Mama will call me. I'm going to see my mother-in-law. Till today, nobody knows. She left the bag and went to Lagos. Till today, and I'm talking years now, nobody knows. Say, Lord, help me. Open my eyes, oh God. Let me see. Let me see into your heart. Take above all, take the shield of faith. It is with the shield of faith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts. And I hope you know the word there is fiery. That means they are not blank. Satan is not testing what he intends to bring you down. Those arrows are arrows of fire. They are fiery darts. It comes with an intention. It takes its time to put that arrow in the fire. It's burning, it's hot. So that when the thing pierces, it takes out the armor and goes straight into your heart. It knows exactly what it's doing. It doesn't come in hoping. It came with a strategy. He said, the issue with the arrow is that you need to quench the fire that comes with it. The offense, the pain, the rejection. Somebody said to me, say, Pastor, he said, I am hating my parents. I need prayers. They've talked down me. I'm talking about Odidi Okuni with three children. At that adult age, still dealing with the rejection of the past. And saying, speaking by faith, I love my parents in Jesus' name. When you have to be using confessions like tablet. I love my parents in Jesus' name. I love my parents in Jesus' name. Because if he kept quiet, those memories are coming. And this is the challenge many first children have. In the bid for them not to go bad, the parents are very strong with them. And then they are nice to the number two and number three. So you notice the number two sometimes can be more rebellious and she will get away with it. But that number one, next verse, 17, the DJ is in the spirit, media team, verse 17, the shield of faith is very important. At any point in your journey, you will have to exercise faith. The only way you can gain mastery in faith is by using it. Hello? The only way you can gain mastery in faith is by what? It's by using it. It's not by doing your hand like this. Imaginary hand. No. You have to use your faith. When you use it in little things, then you use it in other things, then when you get to Goliath, you are too sure. Verse 17. Okay, it's rebooting. Who has the scripture? Verse 17. They are back. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the spirit. Now, the helmet of salvation, this is where thought processes function. So you must trust God for saving of your mind. This is where renewing of the mind comes in. At no point in that battle must you take off the helmet and say, orumumi. And you remove the helmet. Let the heat catch you there. Don't take that enough. Because the moment you take the helmet off, you start rationalizing. How do we even know if Sarah will still give birth? Maybe I'm even hearing myself. God will do it. God will do it. Do it now. Oh. You'll be seeing others giving the same testimony. And you'll be wondering, these ones are not even born again. Prostitutes getting pregnant with ease. And the child of God, and God is saying, my son, at this time next year, Oga, you know I've been faithful. The other day you came, three of you, I fed you. Do something. All these promises. Agbari, under you, we are getting old, though. I will bring your husband from the south for thus hear the Lord, for I've prepared him as a choice servant, and he's going to come forth out of the flames of the fire with my garment and with my sword, and he's going to be a priest after. Hey, Oluwa, I am 34. Shonto se ojolo. Do what you will do, oh God. I know there's no limitation with you. You will not change your prayer. There's no limitation. For thou art the El Shaddai, the multi-breasted God. You are cycling. Baba, look, I believe you, just do it. Don't do it. I know you will do it. Just do it. Even if it is by a common affair, just do it. I don't even want any shiny anything. Just give me somebody. You have taken off the helmet. You are now beginning to rationalize. Because rationalization makes a lot of sense. You have to be smart, too. The Bible did not say you should not use your head. The pastor says, let's begin to pray in spirit. You are praying in tongues without your helmet. It is that helmet that filters whatever comes in. That helmet filters everything through the finished work. It's called the helmet of salvation. So whatever is not in the blood, the helmet only sees the blood. So now you are so used to taking it off. So used to it that at some point you are going to make a mistake even though you still have loud tongues. I ministered to a particular brother in deeper life who had sinned. According to him, he sinned. And while I prayed for him, it was the first time I had somebody barking like a dog. I said, your sin must be very great too. The meeting turned to a deliverance meeting. Helmet of salvation. And the sword of the spirit is the word of God. Now, you can see that out of all I've mentioned, we were able to identify the helmet, right? We were able to identify the sword, the shield, the breastplate, the belt of truth. So I kept asking the Lord, where is the spear? There was no spear. It directly captured. But it's there. Sir. Daddy, say something. Verse 18. Daddy, don't spoil my message. Daddy, don't spoil my message. Give me verse 18. Quickly. This is the only weapon, your spear, that can knock out an enemy long range. Praying always. This one is all types of prayers. And you are, as you are praying, you are watching. Like a Zulu guy. With your prayer, you can go into the future and fix it. You notice that there are certain patterns in your family.
But with your prayer, you can step into the future and save yourself from future problems. You can secure your husband in the place of prayer and tell God, I cannot mismarry. So you take your arrow, your spear, and then you shoot with all manner. You pray with all manner of prayer and supplication in the spirit with the help of the Holy Ghost. Watching. Say, watch and pray. You are watching. Watch means as you pray, be spiritually observant. Be spiritually observant. Don't just be like, hey, slow down. Be spiritually observant. Hey. Be spiritually observant. Be spiritually. He said, watch and pray. He didn't just say pray. He said, watch and pray. And you see Paul again saying, watching thereunto with all perseverance. Because if you don't learn perseverance, there are certain, how do you know when there's a victory note in your spirit? It is when you have prayed through. You have prayed through. Nothing on the external is changing. But you get a victory note in your spirit that this is done. You didn't get it in the first minute. You didn't get it in the second minute. But as you tarried with God, trusting Him for grace, trusting Him for your children, trusting Him for your future, trusting Him for that ministry, trusting Him for whatever it is that is standing toe-to-toe to you, or with you, you are just praying with all manner, and you take your arrow and throw it into the future. This is the only... Every other thing here allows for close combat. This is the only one that takes out the enemy before he gets to your doorstep. It's called prayer. All manner of prayer. As I begin to round up, why am I saying this? Today, I just want to train you a bit. But please permit me to give you what I call the Daniel strategy. Why was Daniel so successful in his ministry, even though he was mostly a lonely man? Number one, Daniel was a man that consecrated his belly. Daniel consecrated his belly. And it doesn't have to be food offered to idols. You go into the king's house. You've not eaten, but your eyes are wide. You can't wait. You have nothing to to caution you, because he giveth his beloved the best of things. You have every revelation that supports food. Daniel knew he was in a war zone. He knew that if he did not live a type of life, he would be swept off. And can you imagine a Daniel falling off? What would happen to his three friends? Because they were looking up to him. So he had to craft a type of life for himself. It was not there in the Bible that if you are in a strange land, eat like this. No. He observed the environment and realized, if I have any chance of surviving here. I hope you know, Daniel didn't live with the Israelites back. I hope you know. Because after we declare freedom, somebody must wait to ensure the freedom is sustained. Daniel didn't go back with them. He got the freedom for them and told them to go. And he stayed back. You must understand that for you to be successful in praying all manner of prayers, prospering in the things of the Spirit, you must have what we call the consecration of your belly. And it's not just food. It could be what you feed your soul. Many people who are gifted seers need to be careful about too much television. Did you hear what I said? If you are gifted as a seer, you need to be careful about things you see with your eyes. Because that's where the corruption comes through. Because you are wired to see. So anything coming through those eyes goes straight into your spirit. And the things that you hear, these are things that they have already shared with us. Number two, Daniel consecrated his company. He was very selective about the people in his inner circle. It is good for you to know the times you are in and be very selective. Friendship is not by force. Everybody is my friend, but my friends know themselves. Are you still here?
There are some of your friends, they are in London, they are in the US, but they are your best friend. You don't talk every day. But any day you talk, you continue from where you stopped. But you don't talk every day. Meanwhile, somebody thinks it's your best friend because it's your neighbor. He consecrated his company. Don't let your friends choose you. Choose them. Come on, say choose them. Your fire can be put out by a wrong person. Number three. Daniel had a prayer strategy. Daniel had a prayer strategy. Because of the nature of his work as a politician, he had to structure his prayer life so that he doesn't get caught up in activities. Are you hearing me now? I'm giving you practical steps. Daniel had a prayer strategy. There was a particular time he always prayed, and there was a way he prayed. You have to develop your... It's your own thing. It's not a thou shalt pray like this. Find out what works for you. Because many times, oh, we are going to pray. Nothing's happening. Daddy recently, after we finished a series of prayers in church, the Lord said to us, I need you to raise the prayer tempo of this church. I said, sir, we just finished 15 hours of prayer. In tongues. No prayer points, tongues. Nobody shouts hallelujah, amen in those kind of meetings. We don't serve refreshments when we are done. But I will do my best. Nobody will accuse me that I didn't tell them what to do. So what do we do? Daddy, we want to raise a prayer temple over this church. Let me hold this one because this is what I need now. We want to raise the prayer temple. We want to do 24 hours prayer. And the Lord said to me, raise your prayer temple like Moses and like Yom Kippur. That's what the Lord said to me. So I had to go study Moses' pattern of prayer. Then I studied Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur's church has 24 hours prayer going on. It's not that people stay there 24 hours. They have shifts. Our church is going to be 5 years in March. If you come there, you will never smell four. It doesn't look anything for. But it's prayers. To bati ready lati fi nkan kun kini yi. If you are not ready to mix something with this Jesus, ko son of me. Wako. And it will not be sweet. But stay there. Sham aroju. So we shared all the leaders, 30 minutes per day, you prayer team, 30 minutes. We have people praying like 30 minutes, 1 hour, 1.5 hours every day for the church. Develop your prayer strategy. Don't stop sharing, stop telling people your problems. Nobody wants to hear it. Develop a prayer strategy. When you tell people your problem, they tell you it is well. They don't say, let us pray. It is where. You are going through all these things. It is where, no. When you get married and on your honeymoon night, your wife comes down with ulcer and she has never had ulcer before. Nobody will tell you. When you say, come out in Jesus' name, and the pain increases. People who cast out devils for 6 hours publicly don't pray 6 hours privately. Go and check it. Because when Jesus prayed overnight, he cast out the spirits with his word. So anytime I pray more than 1 hour for one person, it's a lesson in humility. For me. I just realized that I need God's mercy. God, you know, say, me, I know they too pray. I beg. Just tell us what we go do. We are not, we already know our level. We are still learning. But still help us so that we can go and do other things. But I have noticed, people who prevail in prayer, they don't spend time with demons. Concentrate your prayer strategy. Number four, you must learn prophetic praying. This is the Daniel strategy. There are other ones, but these are the four I want to give you. You must learn prophetic praying. Praying as led by the Holy Spirit. Prophetic praying is just a big terminology. It means praying as you are led by the Holy Spirit. Can I add this? There's something that we call the knowing, a knower, something in your spirit that knows things, your intuition. That thing only becomes stronger as you use it. Some of you spend your time arguing whether is it God, is it not God. That's why you are weak. Start learning to use it. It will save your life. The Jesus strategy. Are you getting anything? Are you getting anything? The Jesus strategy. Number one, Jesus was a man of diverse kinds of prayers. The Bible talks about the prayer of tears. Prayer of intercession. Especially if you're a leader. Prayer of intercession. Don't just pray for yourself. Pray for your people. Oluwa. And it is only the problem you have solved that they will call me to come and pray for. The one you will not solve, don't let me touch it. There's no sentiment. The person you are angry with, don't let me go there. Out of emotionalism. Jesus was a man of diverse kinds. Jesus did vigils. Not because maybe he loved vigils, but that was the only free time of the day for him. Pray. Go and read John 17. You will see the kind of prayer that Jesus prayed. Jesus didn't speak in tongues. So his prayer was very deep. You can teach his prayer. You can teach revelation from his prayer. Diverse kinds of prayer. When you want to pray in the night, don't sit down. Oh, Father, we thank you. Shekelo, ba 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 ba. I know a lawyer who say, I've stopped praying at night because I sleep. God prefers me to die. So let me sleep. When I wake up, I pray. I say, okay. It's okay. Maybe there's a revelation, but I'm not getting it yet. Number two. So, okay, I talked about, let me give you four prayers. Jesus prayed prayers of thanksgiving. He prayed prayers of the night. He prayed prayers of intercession, or if you like, fervent prayers. He prayed prayers of tears. Jesus was a man who knew how to withdraw from men. Jesus was a man, if you're a people pleaser, you like always being in the center of attraction or attention. Jesus was a man who knew how to withdraw from men. People don't know that as a leader, as a spiritual leader, when you talk too much, you dissipate spiritual energy. People don't know. As I'm talking now, I'm dissipating energy. Jesus will preach, then he will withdraw by himself. He wasn't too interested in how people saw him. He ministered to them, he withdraws. That's why as a pastor, if you don't structure and allow other leaders rise to take care of some of this paperwork, your spiritual, because if your battery is on 50% and you came to church to preach, on Sunday morning. By the time you take out of that allocation of the Spirit, you are down to 20. Now, there are some applications on that phone that will not work, except the phone is fully charged. So your WhatsApp is down. Your internet is down. So God is talking. It's like something is not here. So now you're on 20%. Then you get home. While driving home, somebody's car broke down. Last man stopped you. So you use 5%. By the time you get home, you are so worn out. Have you ever gone through ministrations and then you notice your anger level rose? The battery is low. Is it making sense? You've blessed a lot of people, but after the dust settled, don't you are cranky. You're cranky. Move that. I don't want to say anything yet. You are just looking. People are like, what's wrong with this man? Are we the one that called you? So it is your responsibility to be smart enough not to know when to be with people and when to withdraw from them. The work will never finish. Withdraw. The work will never finish. Withdraw. Number three. Jesus had sanctified ears. Say, as I hear, I judge. As I hear, I judge. Jesus had sanctified hearing. He didn't open his ears to everything. Don't go and listen to what will derail your destiny. Some of this hearing is not literally, it's on WhatsApp. It's on WhatsApp. I'm telling you how to take away impediment so that your battery won't be running down. Because many of us are praying. But it's as if we are not praying. But it's not that we are not praying. There are things using up, applications running at the background, using up your energy. Take them out. That friend of yours that always make you ask for forgiveness after you finish starting. Are you still here? We all have that kind of friend. Say amen. Students, you have that kind of friend. Say amen. You have that friend who is very daring. And then you say, are you a Christian? You shouldn't be saying all this is where it goes. You can learn these things now. Because when the pressure of paying of rent, 1.5 million, comes, my house is 1.5 million. Where I live. I'm praying and fasting now for money. Because rent will be due 3 weeks time. The woman is sending me text message. When I see the rakatabakaya. When I see text message. Rakatabakataba. Rakat, because I have nowhere to turn to. Rakatabakata. My brother is 1.5. I can buy a plot here. Eh? So you must have sanctified hearing. There are things you hear that cut you off from the flow. There are things you can see, you can read. They disturb the tranquility in your spirit. So protect your heart, protect your ears, protect your eyes. I have poor strategy here, but let me just say this and I take my seat. I have a sense in my spirit that God wants to heal people this morning. Hallelujah. I have a sense in my spirit that God wants to heal people. So we just pray a simple prayer and you'll be healed in Jesus' name. When Paul went to Ephesus, there was a contention. And sir, you may not know, but I want to tell you something. My brother, you may not know. I want to tell you something. Don't believe me. Take it like I'm playing with you. When Paul got to Ephesus, he saw a silversmith. What was that man's name? Is it Demetrius? Alexandra. In Acts chapter 19, there was this man who was a silversmith. And the Lord told me, look up the occultic uses of silver. And I went online. Look at what I found. Silver provides protective powers against negative influence. I got this from an occultic website. They use it when they mix their concoctions. The element of silver can be used to provide protective, like a wall, it protects you inside. Number two, silver enhances psychic faculties. That metal can enhance. So you see people hearing, saying they are hearing God. Or some of all these people on each channel, or you know that channel where they show Kim Kardashian? Is it each channel or something? You see all these mediums that can tell you things about yourself. One of the things that enhances their psychic abilities is that metal called silver. I'm saying this because when Paul got here, he met a silversmith that was the hero of Diana. So I have an idea why he was a silversmith. He created a spiritual edge around that city, but somebody came in and distorted the psychic field. So without Paul preaching one message, somebody knew this guy is not an ordinary guy. When you are red hot in the place of prayer and obedience, you come into a field taken by the devil, they know you are around. Demetrius. Now, he was a worshiper of Diana of Ephesus. And I want to teach you something about prophetic cries and declarations. when they raised a cry against Paul, do you know what they were saying? Great is the Diana of Ephesus. The Bible says they chanted it for 2 hours. I don't know where we got our praise and worship for. We sing a song for 2 minutes. You drive that song till it drops you in another dimension, then pick the next one. And it drives you. Our songs are prophetic cries. They are prophetic declarations. One man stood in the center of the city and began to chant. The Bible says people gathered. They didn't even know why they were gathering. But as he was declaring, Diana was releasing her boys, going to that space. Lynch him, lynch him, lynch him. They were coming close to Paul. Lynch him, lynch him, lynch him, lynch him. Great is Diana of Ephesus, sir. Great is Diana of Ephesus. Now see the echoes of 1,000 voices. Great is Diana of Ephesus, sir. Great is Diana. So the altar was an opera. Nobody knew what happened. But there was a man who was psychic, who knew that this one wants to take this place. So he didn't even allow Paul land. He raised the warfare. Some of you made a decision. You go back to your office. You find queries waiting. It's the warfare. You want to liberate people so they can be spiritually sound. They know what God is saying to them. We'll wait for you on Monday morning. Because you can't bind your boss. Ah, did you hear that one? The devil brings the battle here. Because you can't bind your boss. But still the solution is in the spiritual. You neutralize it from there. The devil brought the battle here. Great is the honor of Ephesus. Great is the honor of Ephesus. Great is the honor of Ephesus. And for 2 hours, saying the same thing. Chanting, 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 chanting. It took God to raise the town clerk.
Men and brethren, you know, we are accommodating people.
You must learn to identify when God is raising help from you. For you from unexpected sources. So that you don't shout it down because they don't believe. It was that man that God used. They would have lynched Paul in that place and he would have died and gone to heaven. But the Bible will not be complete.
Learn how to make prophetic cries.
Do you know the difference between repetition and praying fervently? The texture of the heart. When you are crying to God out of the desperation of your wanting his help, and when you are just saying Baba She, 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 but I could be saying Baba She, She, and it is the cry of saying the same words, but something is powering my desperation. The power of prophetic declarations. You need to learn it. You will learn it. Because that's what was used against Paul. In the midst of that warfare, what did Paul do? And I round up. He was quiet. He wanted to go in. The disciples restrained him. Sometimes we must learn how to receive help from our brethren, who are seemingly not as spiritual as we are. He wanted to go. It was the best disciple that said, no, no, no. Today is not for revelation. These people are angry. If they see you, they will shred you before they know that God sent you. Are you with me? What am I saying to you? In spiritual warfare, you don't just need prayers, you need wisdom. Wisdom is one of the most powerful tools of the Spirit. You must learn wisdom. When to engage and when to refrain. If you cannot tell this one, you'll be using supernatural power to service disobedience.
The Lord will help us. The Lord will help us. Are we ready to pray?
I want to pray. I'll just pray a general prayer. I woke up this morning, Daddy, and I just felt that if the Lord makes provision for us, we need to come back and teach people how to make a connecting point between leadership and the move of the Holy Spirit. Because, sir, even in Lagos, commitment level of people is below low. The only difference is that in Anakure, they are students. In Lagos, they are working class. That's the only difference. You cannot steal your spiritual level. You have to grow into it. I cannot steal your level and make it mine. You see all these things I'm saying to you, you will now realize that no lazy man can walk with God. Even if you say God called you and he didn't call you, time will reveal all men. As we begin to pray, I want us to rise up. There are many of you, there are not many, there are some of you here. The Lord is going to open the channels of your spirit. But he wants to first away take, he wants to take away crisis in your soul. There are some of you who have been hurt. You have been hurt in the past. Some of you by your parents. Some of you by past relationships. Some of you by even Christians. If you are in this building, I want you to ask God right now to heal your soul. Because God, the moment I pray, God is going to bring healing to you. Whether you are having asthma, whether you are having pain in your back, whatever that sickness is, whatever that problem is, as I step aside in the name of Jesus, God will begin to heal your soul. He will heal your brokenness. I want you to cry out to God now and ask the Lord to begin to heal your heart. Some of you are carrying offenses. The Bible says, woe to him through whom offenses come. I want you to ask the Lord for mercy and to be healed in your heart, so that when we begin to pray, the Lord can perfect that which concerns you. Pray in 1 minute and ask the Lord to heal your heart. Ask the Lord to heal your heart. I see somebody in this place. Some time ago, somebody in your family, you lost somebody in your family. And the Lord said, look, I am still going to prove my faithfulness in your life. What happened does not diminish my faithfulness. And the Lord is saying, I want you to open your heart because I'm going to heal you so that you can begin to prosper in the things that pertain to the Spirit. Ask the Lord for help in your soul so that you can be healed. Ask the Lord for help in your soul so that you can be healed. Ask the Lord for help in your soul. I see the Lord healing a lot of emotional hurt. I see the Lord healing a lot of emotional hurt. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You are going to ask the Lord, train me the way you train your son, Jesus. Train me the way I want to be cutting edge like your son. Father, begin to train me. Begin to lead me in the path of righteousness. I don't want to move in the flesh. I want to move as I'm led by the Holy Spirit. Let the ministry and the leadership of the Holy Spirit begin to bring me to new levels of training, new levels of development. Begin to pray for yourself. Begin to pray for yourself. Begin to pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus over the people of God that you begin to administer to us trainings, teachings by the Spirit of God. Help us, our Father. Help us, our Father. Lambo Robo Koto, can you please pray for yourself? 1 minute. Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. You are going to take authority over every spirit trying to influence your mind against the will of the Lord. Whatever voices you are hearing in your heart telling you not to be faithful to the Lord, begin to pray right now and receive grace. We receive grace to be faithful to the Lord. We silence every voice speaking in the ears of people, encouraging them in the way of sin. In the name of Jesus, we silence every voice that is not of the Father. Every voice breathing the lust of the flesh, breathing the lust of life, breathing the pride of life. In the name of Jesus, we open our hearts to the mercy of God. We open our hearts to the mercy of God. We open our hearts to the mercy of God. In Jesus'
mighty name we pray. Two more prayers. Now is your moment. We are going to ask. And the moment we pray this prayer, God will begin to touch some of you. Hallelujah. You are going to ask the Lord. You see, everything you see in the Bible, they are prototypes of realities that can be replicated. You are going to ask the Lord. The same way you separated Peter with your fire, that the one who could not stand the warfare of a woman could now be leading thousands to Christ. The way you separated Paul from his mother's womb with your spirit. This morning, let your fire come upon me and let it separate me. Let the heavens open. Let the fire of the Lord descend. Let there be a fresh baptism. Let there be a fresh baptism. Let there be a separation. Oh, something is happening here. Something is happening here. Something is happening here. Let the eyes of your children begin to open. Let there be a separation. Let the Spirit of God begin to bring us into persuasions. Let there be a fresh work of grace. Let there be a fresh work of grace. Oh ho! Oh ho! Let there be separation. Let there be separations. The way you separated Daniel. Let there be separations. Let there be separations. Let there be separations. Let there be separations. Rabba Gadaba Regede Bolobosa. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Jesus said, except you come as a little child, you cannot receive the things that pertain to the kingdom. You are going to say to the Lord, tune my ears to be able to understand the things that pertain to the scriptures. I don't want to be spiritually dull anymore. Tune my ears. Give me an understanding heart. So that I can walk with you. Begin to pray right now. Tune my ears. Tune my ears. Tune my ears. Tune my ears. Legede bonobo robozo degede bonobo robo. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. There is a strong mantle of prophecy on this altar. And please understand me within the context of what I'm saying. Because the spirit of prophecy is that which testifies of Jesus. It reveals Jesus. God is saying, I want to begin to reveal myself to my people. Personally. I feel it is so strong upon me. But I'm going to ask the Lord to lift it now and take it to you. Open your hearts wherever you are. The mantle is coming to where you are standing. In the name of Jesus. Receive the mantle of the Spirit. Receive the inner workings of the Holy Spirit. Let this garment lift from my spirit and rest upon your children. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost, the spirit of intercession, begin to fall upon your people. The spirit of intercession and the spirit of prophecy. Let their ears begin to open. Let their eyes begin to open. Aha! Aha!
Aha! Something is happening there. Something is happening at the back. Le katabare katabalosa. Regedebolo, thou spirit of the Lord. Regedebolo, something is happening at the back there. Your eyes begin to open in the spirit. Receive fresh unction to begin to tarry with the Lord. Receive fresh unction to begin to tarry with the Lord. Receive the spirit of prayer and the spirit of supplication. Now receive it. Receive it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I don't know what is going on, but that I see have a large part of that unction with me here. If you spectate, you miss. There is a lady here that God's power wants to single out. There is a lady here that God's power wants to single out for an overdose. Drink of this river. Drink of the river. It's in your belly. Drink of the river. Aha. Aha. We are getting it now. We are getting it now. Quickly, 1 minute. We are getting it now. Thou power of the Lord, arise and begin to bring your people to new realms. Realms they will never recover from. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Aha. I just need 5 minutes to finish this one. Aha. Aha. Drink, drink. Aha. Over there at the back. Aha. 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 To the overflowing. To the overflowing. Aha. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Some of you, your eyes have been activated. And from now on, you will never be in the dark. Now I want to pray for those of you who are sick. You don't need to come out. If you have parents who are sick, I want you to also stand for them. Because the Egyptians you see today, I said the Egyptians you see today. The Egyptians you see today, they are about to be swallowed up. In Jesus' mighty name, every high blood pressure, asthma, SS, fibroid, waywardness of the heart, thou power of the Lord, every tree that has not been planted by the Father, let them be swallowed up right now. You spirit of infirmity, hear the voice of the Lord. Go and never return.
Daddy, as I stand there praying, I see the heavens open over this church. Right from the doorstep of the entrance. And I hear in the spirit, I hear new waves. New waves of glory. I see a cloud being rolled away like a carpet. And I see a clear sky. And the Lord says it's a new wave. Aha! I see a new wave. The Lord said it's called Patmos. Patmos. People will come here for the first time and they will fall into the spirit. And by the time they come back, God has restored them. He has begun to meet with them without any words spoken. Oh, mala, oh, rodo, boda, da, rasa. New waves of glory. New waves of glory. Look at it. Tumbling in. Tumbling in. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Tumbling in. Tumbling in. Tumbling in. Tumbling in. Tumbling in. Look at it. Look at it. Coming. Coming. Tumbling in. Tumbling in. Oh, hallelujah. I have just 3 minutes, but stay with me. I see the Lord wanting to change something that pertains to a blood condition, like a medical, but maybe one say ASSS, what do you call that? It's like a blood condition. If you have something to do with your blood and you are here and it has to do with a medical, a blood, something that has to come now. I want to pray for you. Something that has to do with your blood, maybe it's your genotype, not ASO. Something that has to do with a blood condition, or maybe it's your parents or somebody. The Lord is telling me there's healing. If you are there, come quickly. I'm moving on. I see God healing blood conditions, something that has to do with the blood. Today is your day, my brother. What's your name? Olumide. Today is your day. Come. Today is your day. Rabala koto koprosha ta kabadolosa. Randevoluso pre dalosoka. Rewrite the code. Zambara kataba. Buroshate kabolosa. Mambroshate ketebo. Rabadulobo sategebe. Right now, right now, right now, rewrite it, rewrite, rewrite. Rapotoko sokata, yetre shakate bolosa. Something is flowing into your body now, and that blood condition, that medical condition is gone. That's your healing. Breathe, 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 and take it now. In the name of Jesus. Don't struggle with it. Lika bodosa. Aha. 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 In the name of Jesus. Aha. Aha. Lembro shakata. You are healed. In the name of Jesus. You are healed in the name of Jesus. Wherever she is right now, there is no distance in the spirit. Who the Son of God makes free is free indeed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Wherever she is right now, the power of God is finding her. in the name of Jesus. Lambro shakata barakata. Now in the name of Jesus. Rewrite, rewrite, rewrite. In your blood, be free in Jesus' name. Right now in your blood, be free in the name of Jesus. The Lord is rewriting your codes. No more blood condition in the name of Jesus. Jesus makes you well. Jesus makes you well. Jesus makes you well. In the name of Jesus. Now you do something for me. With a loud voice. Shout, for the Lord has given you the victory. I just saw a pain in... I have to stop. If I continue like this, no. When I get to this junction, I have to stop. Because if it was in my church, but at this junction, I'm seeing somebody with something in the bones, pains in the bones. Raka poto kapara kata. Pains in the bones. Kambro shataka. Kombre shakata. Where did you get it from? Hold my hand. Rapotoko sakata baleka. Right now, lege dege boko tozata kabaya. Lembro shataka tabale. Kamrade ze koto bro shakata. Yenda laboro. I judge that pain. I judge it now. Go and never return. Go and never return. Right now, begin to do what you couldn't do. Oh, barakatabaya. In the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Congratulations. Lembro shakatabaya. Every pain in your bone, out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of infirmity, out in the name of Jesus. If I pray for you, you can go back quickly. Rapakatobro shakataba. The pain in the bones. Come, come, come. Come in the name of Jesus. Right now, begin to find your way. Leka balusaka, yembrakato, barakata balada bolosha. You spirit of infirmity, out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Every spirit causing pain, in the name of Jesus. Out in the name of Jesus. Father, let the wave of healing flow all over this place. What the doctors could not do, Jesus. Jesus, you are the doctor. What the doctors could not do, begin. I'm seeing a GPA that is... Daddy, I need to sit down. I'm seeing a GPA that is below, at the edge of 2-2, but it's in third class. And the Lord says, He wants to push it up. Just, you are about body law school, but the Lord says He wants to push it up. Are you hearing me? Daddy, I'm sorry, there are some things I can't explain. I prayed for somebody. They told him in Ado, he had third class. When he got to London, they requested for a transcript, they found 2-2. I don't talk about it again because it doesn't make sense. Sincerely, go and read your book. But this one doesn't make sense. How can you graduate a third class and then you came for a meeting and I didn't know nothing and I prophesied? He went back to school, they found 2-2. He's married now. Let me tell you, spiritual things, the spiritual realm, you can bend laws, sometimes break it. I speak to everyone here who is struggling in your academics. I push for an upgrade right now. I push for an upgrade right now. I push for an upgrade right now. In the name of Jesus, receive the power of the Holy Ghost. There is an unction upon your life. Drink of that river. In the name of Jesus. The prophetic realm is open over this house. And Father, I ask that it will remain open. Many prophets have been frustrated because they didn't have pastors who could pastor them. But from today, everyone that has been called
into the prophetic will find a house here. Prophets are known to be rebellious. But from today, we'll bring alignment. In the name of Jesus. We'll bring alignment. In the name of Jesus. We'll bring alignment. In the name of Jesus. I see many of you with graces of utterance, but you are struggling. Today, I declare your tongue is loose. Father, Mambro Shadla Dras Nagaboloza, Rege De Bro Shadra Gaba No Bro Seka. Let the sense and the awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit be strong in this place. Some things can be said. I see three ladies here trusting God for supernatural direction on what the Lord wants them to do next after this program. But I see the Lord saying, today, it will give you a clear witness in your spirit. The Lord bless you. You will prosper in the things of the Lord. The Lord will restore your hunger. The Lord will restore your hunger. The Lord will give you hunger for Him. What swallows men? What took Demas out of the race? Will not take you out. None shall be missing. None shall be lost. Nobody will pass through this house and be lost. I heard the word of restoration. Things that have been lost are now being restored. People that have left are now coming back. The Lord is saying He's going to help you. Are you hearing, sir? Come. The Lord is saying, you in white. The Lord is saying He's going to help you. And this is the word. You will restore the waste places. The Lord says you will restore the waste places. Broken bridges will be rebuilt. But there's an unction for that. Just the way Elisha held the hands of that king and activated him. Right now, the power of God is flowing in your body and you are being activated to go back and succeed. Not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit.
We believe you were blessed by this message. For additional information, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram at PGC Church, or visit our website www.pgcchurch.org. Thanks.